Oh, that's usually the key to begin, welcome, assuming we understand each other, and going on in a very heavy chapter, especially in the early parts, where, as I said, we have, in a way, translations of our English, colloquial English, into ways of speaking and writing that they had. This is approximative. These are not genuine imitations, but is that? So we have a time element, progression or development or biology or evolution, the evolution of the English language. Fascinating in itself, but not easy. Okay, we have Bloom arriving. He knows one of the sisters there, and yeah, and now he's standing at the entrance. He's welcomed, so we can do the first part.
In Ward Wary, the watcher, hearing come that man, mild-hearted, eft rising with swy wimple to him, her gait wide undid. Lo, levin leaping lightens in Ibling Island's westward welkin. Full she dread that God the wreaker all mankind would fordo with water for his evil sins. Christ's rood made she on breastbone, and him drew that he would wrath infer under her thatch. That man, her will wotting, worthful, went in Horn's house.
In Ward Wary, we heard that. The watcher hearing, come that man, mild-hearted, I think we understand that, eft rising with a swire, that is the neck part, e wimpled, surrounded with the wimple, the kind of headgear they have, and that why you have e wimpled is an older word form that is lost in English. That is the correspondence to the German syllable ge, gegangen, gewesen, that you had in English too. So e wimpled, and you find that in certain old documents. Which why e wimpled to him, her gate wide undid, opened the door. Lo, levin leaping lightens in Ibling Ireland's westward welkin. So here you have a word, levin. That's an old word for a flash of lightning. It has not survived, but it was once there. Leaping lightens. See, this is the alliteration. Levin leaping lightens in Iblink. That's easy for German readers. Iblink, in the blink of an eye, the shortest time. Ireland's westward welkin. Welkin is another word that's no longer effective. It is clearly means the sky. And you can see it must be the same word that we have in German, Wolken, only so it developed differently. And that's part of the interest. Something, one word is for the sky, and the other language describes the things that are in the sky, Welkin. Clouds. Full she dread, feared, that God, the wreaker, the who wreak, that you still have in turn for the one who creates something. Now you wreak havoc. It's no longer general use. All mankind would fordo, destroy. Thunder and lightning were always considered a god being angry with the human beings, and Joyce was afraid of thunder. Rick, all mankind would fordo with water for his evil sins. Christ's rood made she on breastbone, on the breastbone she made Christ rood, and rood is an old Anglo-Saxon word for cross. But the word rood has not survived, We take the Latin word cross, that thing. Root, meci on breastbone, and him drew that he would rather fare under her thatch. She obviously asked him in that he would rather in fare, we understand it, go in under her thatch. Thatch is, of course, the same word as the German Dach. Only in England you have thatched roofs. There's a touch of a sexuality over it too, thatch under a thatch. That man, her will wotting, knowing, wrathful went in Horn's house. So we have simple sentences with lots of repetition that are quite easy to read and impressive in their own way.
Loath to irk in Horn's hall, hat holding, the seeker stood. On her stow he e'er was living with dear wife and lovesome daughter, that then over land and sea floor 9 years had long outwandered. Once her in townhithe meeting, he to her bow had not doffed. Her to forgive now he craved, with good ground of her allowed, that of him swift-seen face hers so young then had looked. Light swift her eyes kindled, bloom of blushes, his word winning.
Jo.
Loath to irk in, oh, doesn't want to become a nuisance, in Horn's Hall, that hat holding the seeker stood. I think we can almost imagine Bloom standing there a little bit embarrassed with a hat. On her stow, the place where it is, you know that some of those words like stow you find in place names. He e'er was living, so he was living once in the neighborhood. He lived opposite the Horror Street Hotel. He e'er was living with their wife and lovesome daughter, that then over land and sea floor 9 years had long outwandered. So the Blooms left then for 9 years, and now he's back in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And of course, he had wandered over land and sea floor. He had just moved about in Dublin, but that is the wandering or disuse, had long outwandered. Once her in townhithe, of a town, meeting, he to her bow had not doffed. So they met once and she bowed, and he didn't take off his hat accidentally, I don't know, and he remembers that. And now he gets clever out of it. Her to forgive now he craved, with good grounds, of her allowed that of him, swift-seen face, he had seen it only very quickly, swiftly, hers, so young then, had looked. He says, you look so young, I didn't recognize you, turning it into a kind of compliment. And you see, light, swift, her eyes kindled, bloom of blushes, his word winning. So she blushed a bit.
As her eyes then on got his weed swart, therefore sorrow she feared, glad after she was that ere it red was. Her he asked if O'Hare doctor tidings sent from far coast, and she with grateful sigh him answered that O'Hare doctor in heaven was. Sad was the man that word to hear, that him so heavied in bowels wrathful. All she there told him, ruing death for friend so young, Oldgate saw unwilling God's right wiseness to withsay. She said that he had a fair sweet death, through God his goodness, with mass priest to be shriven, holy housel and sick men's oil to his limbs. The man then right earnest asked the nun of which death the dead man was died, and the nun answered him and said that he was died in Mona Island through belly crab 3 year agone from Childermas, and she prayed to God the old ruthful to have his dear soul in his undeathliness. He heard her sad words in held hat, sad staring. So stood they both there a while, in one hope, sorrowing, one with other.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, every man, look to that last end that is thy death, and the dust that grippeth on every man that is born of woman. For as he came naked forth from his mother's womb, so naked shall he wend him at the last, for to go as he came.
As our eyes then, on God, his weeds, remarked, his weeds, is what his black clothes, weeds the only use for widows' weeds nowadays. Widows were using a kind of black color, so and then it was still a term for all kinds of clothes. Swart, black, obviously. Therefore, sorrow she feared. Glad, after she was, that e'er a dread was. Of course, here now you have to make conversation, and you make conversation about somebody you both know. Her, he asked, if O'Hare doctor, tidings sent from far coast. So there was a doctor that he had seen and remembered, and he asked about him. He had obviously gone away. And she with grameful sigh, grameful, we have the German word gram. Sigh him answered that O'Hare doctor in heaven was. Sad was the man that were to hear that him so heavied in bowels ruthful. In the Bible, you often have the bowels to describe a misery. And you know, when you feel miserable, it's often in your abdomen. And bowels ruthful. All she there told him, ruing death, regretting being sorrow, being sad about death, for friends so young. All gate, although sore and willing, God's right wiseness to withstay. She said, sorry, but of course I don't want to question God's justice, right wiseness that you do in the right to withstay. She said that he had a fair, sweet death through God his goodness. In old time, you sometimes had this kind of genitive. And of course, we use that in dialect. With mass priest to be shriven, to shrive is an old, still useful for to go to confession, to shrive. We heard it in the Proppy Boy in the 11th chapter. Shriven, holy housel, housel is the sacrifice, the host, that's a Germanic word, that has no merit, the host, and the sick man's oil, that is the extreme unction, the Lord's unction, to his limbs, so he has had all the necessary rites. The man then right, earnest, asked the nun, of which death the dead man was died. See, the syntax is still a bit different, but on the whole, we can follow. And the nun answered him and said that he was died in Mona Island. He was died. You realize in Germanic languages, often it is, ich habe gesessen, ich habe bin gestorben, he was died in Mona Island, that was an Irish religious place, through belly crab, obviously belly, some disease. 3 years are gone, come Childermoss, and to pray ye God, the all ruthful, the all merciful, to have his dear soul in his undeathliness. And that's clearly a Germanic way of saying immortality, undeathliness. He heard a sad words in hell's hard, sad staring. So stood they there, both while in one hope, that's the opposite of hope, that is despair, sorrowing one with other. So there's this sad moment. And often in your old text you have advice about life. Therefore, every man, and you know we have these every man plays, look to that last end, that is thy death, and the dust that wipeth on every man that is born of woman. For as he came naked forth from his mother's womb, so naked shall he wend him after the last for to go as he came. And I think one feels a kind of enjoyment that Joyce has to describe a scene that I think we can follow with these old words in this way.
The man that was come into the house then spoke to the nursing woman, and he asked her how it fared with the woman that lay there in childbed. The nursing woman answered him and said that that woman was in throes now full 3 days, and that it would be a hard birth enough to bear, but that now in a little it would be. She said thereto that she had seen many births of women, but never was none so hard as was that woman's birth. Then she set it forth all to him that time was had lived nigh that house. The man hearkened to her words, for he felt with wonder women's woe in the travail that they have of motherhood. And he wondered to look on her face, that was a young face for any man to see, but yet was she left after long years a handmaid. 9-12 blood flows, chiding her childless.
The man that was come into the house then spoke to the nursing woman, and he asked her how it fared with a woman that lay there in childbed. That's the point of his stopping there. The nursing woman answered him and said that that woman was in throes now full 3 days, and that it would be a hard birth, a death to bear, heavy to bear, but that now in a little it would be, so the birth is imminent. She said thereto that she had seen many births of women, but never was none so hard as was that woman's birth. Then she set it forth all to him that time was had lived nigh that house. The man hearkened to her words, for he felt with wonder woman's woe in the travail, the trouble that they have of motherhood, and he wondered to look on her face. That was a young face for any man to see, but yet was she left after long years a handmaid. That also means a virgin, the handmaid of the Lord, the Virgin Mary, and so she is. 9-12 blood flows. That would be a month's blood flows, chiding her childless. So she herself does not have a child. And now we move a bit on. You can see this is still very Germanic. But now we move it on, and there's already an influx of Latin words that come from French. There wasn't. So we have more and more of those. So far, for about two pages, we had mainly Anglo-Saxon words of Germanic background.
And whilst they spake, the door of the castle was opened, and there nighed them a mickle noise, as of many that sat there at meat. And there came against the place, as they stood, a young learning knight, yclept Dixon, and the traveller Leopold was couth to him. Sithen it had happed that they had had ado each with other in the House of Misericord, where this learning knight lay, by cause the traveller Leopold came there to be healed, for he was sore wounded in his breast by a spear, wherewith a horrible and dreadful dragon was smitten him, for which he did do make a salve of volatile salt and chrism, as much as he might suffice. And he said now that he should go into the castle for to make merry with them that were there. And the traveller Leopold said that he should go other whither, for he was a man of courtals and a subtle. Also the lady was of his avis, and reproved the learned knight, though she trowed well that the traveller had said thing that was false for his subtlety. But the learned knight would not hear say nay, nor do her mandament, nay have him in aught contrarious to his list, and he said how it was a marvellous castle. And the traveller Leopold went into the castle for to rest him for a space, being sore of limb, after many marches, environing in divers lands, and sometime venery.
This is from a text by Mandeville that there was fairy tales and things like that. So, and as I said, there are more foreign words now. And whilst they spake, the door of the castle, and you see, the hospital also changes. It becomes a castle, because Mandeville would not have talked about hospitals. They didn't exist yet. Was opened, and there nigh them a mickle noise, and a big noise came nearer, as of many that sat there at meat. And you can also see here meat, which is now limited to meat, was once a word for a meal in general, and meat. And there came against the place, as they stood, a young learning knight, yclept, called Dixon. And that's the doctor that Bloom remembered when he thought of the place. Dixon had dressed his beasting, was it? And you can realize that the people have different names. He's now a learning knight. These were people that you talked about, knights, declared Dixon. And the traveler Leopold was couth to him. Couth means no, known. Uncouth meant unknown. Uncouth now means something different. It's clumsy. Was couth to him, since it had happed that they had ado, each with other, in the house of Misery Court, the hospital Mater Misericordiae in Eccles Street, where this learning knight lay. By cause, the traveller Leopold came there to be healed, for he was sore wounded in his breast by a spear, wherewith a horrible and dreadful dragon had smitten him, for which he did do make a salve of wold and salt and chrism, as much as he might suffice. And so we now hear the story. Bloom in his garden was stung by a bee. He ran up the street to a nearby hospital and had it dressed, maybe a bit overreacted. But here, the bee is transformed into a dragon, because this man Mandeville talked about dragons and heroes and all of that, and not about little bees. So you see, what's typical of it is that we don't have just verbal translations, an old word for that, but you might say material ones. We are in a castle, and there are dragons and things like that. And he said, now that he should go into the castle for to make merry with them that were there. So Bloom is asked inside. Now Bloom has no desire to go inside, he just wanted to stop, but he's asked. And the traveller Leopold said that he should go other whither. It's nice, other whither, somewhere else. For he was a man of courtles, of precaution and subtle issues. Also, the lady was of his opinion, and reproof till early night. Though she trusted, well, that the traveller had said thing that was false for his subtlety. So the nurse knows that Bloom isn't quite honest, and she understands him. But the learning knight would not hear say nay, nor do her mandament, her command, ne have him in aught contrarious to his list against what he wants. And he said how it was a marvelous castle. And the traveller Leopold went into the castle for to rest him for a space, being sore of limb after many marches in wironing in divers lands, of course that's and sometimes venery, his masturbation and things like that. So the language changes almost from paragraph to paragraph, and
and in the castle was set a board that was of the birchwood of Finlandy, and it was upheld by four dwarf men of that country, but they durst not move, more for enchantment. And on this board were frightful swords and knives that are made in a great cavern demons out of white flames that they fix in the horns of buffaloes and stags that there abound marvellously. And there were vessels that are wrought by magic of Mahood out of sea sand and the air, by a warlock with his breath that he blares into them like to bubbles. And full fair cheer and rich was on the board, that no wight could devise a fuller, nay richer. And there was a vat of silver that was moved by craft to open, in the which lay strange fishes withouten heads, though misbelieving men nigh that this be possible thing without they see it, natheless they are so. And these fishes lie in an oily water, brought there from Portugal land, because of the fatness that therein is like to the juices of the olive press. And also it was marvel to see in that castle how by magic they make a compass out of fecund wheat, kidneys, out of Chaldee, that by aid of certain angry spirits that they do into it, swells up wondrously like to a vast mountain. And they teach the serpents there to entwine themselves up on long sticks out of the ground. And out of the scales of these serpents, they brew out a brewage like to mead.
So now the castle is described in the old fashion, and in the castle was set the board that was of birchwood of Finlandy, and it was upheld by four dwarf men of that country, but they durst not move for enchantment. You realize that the table has legs that are shaped like dwarfs, humanized, and that is described. And again here, and you have that often also not in epics, that everything that is made, that is appreciated for it, because it has to be made. It doesn't take it for granted like now when you just buy something. So the table is a work of art. And of course, it's magic. The dwarfs, they're immobilized there. They're not allowed to move. And on this board were frightful swords and knives. That's probably knives and for not knife, sword, that are made in a great cavern by shrinking demons, by hard-working demons, out of white flames that they fix on the horns of buffaloes and stags that they'll abound marvelously. And you see, these are knives with horn handles, and that is here described. And there were vessels that are wrought by magic of Mohammed magic, out of sea sand and the air, by a warlock fire with his breath that he blares into them like to bubbles. And that's really a, though we probably don't think of it anymore, that is really a marvel. You can have transparent glass that is made out of sand, and yet you can look through it. That must be a miracle. And don't forget, everything you would have looked to other people as a miraculous thing. Imagine if somebody of 100 years ago came and saw how we speak into these funny things in the hand and all of that. That would be magic, and that you can hear somebody far away, all of this. Bubbles. And full fell cheer and rich was on the board, that no wight could devise a fuller ne richer. No wight, we have the same word in Bösewicht. In English it's almost gone. Would devise a fuller ne richer. And there was a vat of silver that was moved by craft to open, in the which lay strange fishes without in heads. Though misbelieving men, nay, that this be possible thing without, they see it. Nevertheless, also, and what they have is obviously sardines in tins, and the sardines have no heads. And how can that be? Because fish do have heads, that kind of thing. So everything is looked with a naive wonder. Without this, nevertheless, also. And those fishes lie in an oily water frail from Portugal land. Sardines were from Portugal in the old time. Because of the fatness that therein is, like to the juices of the olive press. And also, it was marvel to see in the castle how by magic they make a compost out of fecund wheat, kidneys out of Chaldee that had, but by aid of certain angry spirits that they do into swells up wondrously like into us mountains. A mountain. Of course, in brewing, you have something that you turn into a liquid form. And they teach the serpents there to entwine themselves up on long sticks and of the ground and of the scales of these serpents. They brew out the brewage like to meat. And this is, of course, the hop. You know, hop grows like serpents. So this is looked at, the glasses, the food, the fish, how they are made and described with wonder.
And the learned knight let pour for child Leopold a draught, and help thereto the while, all they that were there drank every each. And child Leopold did up his beaver for to pleasure him, and took apertly somewhat in amity, for he never drank no manner of mead, which he then put by, and anon full privily he voided the more part in his neighbour's glass, and his neighbour nist not of his while. And he sat down in their castle with them for to rest him there a while. Thanked be Almighty God.
And the learning knight let pour for child Leopold. Child here, I get an old sense of a knight, not a child. Remember Byron, Childe Harold's Pilgrimage. So it's spelled differently. Draft and help thereto the while all they that were there drank every each. And child Leopold did up his beaver for to pleasure him. The beaver is when you have a male that you put up from your face mask to drink beaver. So he would be in a in a Rüstung, that kind of thing, to pleasure him, and took upwardly, somewhat in amity, or openly, so that he pretended to drink it. It looks upwardly open that he drank it somewhat in amity, for he never drank no manner of mead. Bloom, and we may not have noticed that, doesn't drink beer in a country where everybody has Guinness. He had some Burgundy, remember? So he's a bit different. No man of need, which then put by and anon full privily. He voided it. So apparently, openly, he pretended to drink, but privily, secretly, he poured it. He voided the more part in his neighbor glass. And his neighbor wished not of this wine, did not know of this. And he sat down in that castle with them for to rest him there a while. Thank the Almighty God. Now, that thank the Almighty God is probably not something that Bloom would think, but in those days that it would have been appropriate. So.
This meanwhile, this good sister stood by the door and begged them at the reverence of Jesu, our altar liege lord, to leave their wassailing. For there was above one quick with child, a gentle dame, whose time hied fast. Sir Leopold heard on the up floor cry on high, and he wondered what cry that it was, whether of child or woman. And I marvel, said he, that it be not come or now. Meseems it dureth over long. And he was ware and saw a Franklin, that hight Lenehan, on that side the table, that was older than any of the t'other. And for that they both were knights, virtuous in the one emprise, and eke by cause that he was elder, he spoke to him full gently. But, said he, or it be long too, she will bring forth by God his bounty, and have joy of her childing, for she hath waited marvellous long. And the Franklin that had drunken said, expecting each moment to be her next, also he took the cup that stood before him, for him needed never none asking or desiring of him to drink. And now drink, said he, fully delectably, and he quaffed as far as he might to their both's health, for he was a passing good man of his lustiness. And Sir Leopold, that was the goodliest guest that ever sat in Scholar's Hall, and that was the meekest man and the kindest that ever laid husbandly hand under hen, and that was the very truest knight of the world, one that ever did minion service to Lady Gentle, pledged him courtly in the cup, woman's woe with wonder pondering.
Then the language moves forward a bit more and more. And meanwhile, this good sister stood by the door and begged them at the reverence of Jesu, our altar liege lord, to leave their wassailing, their noise, and for there was above one quick with child, pregnant woman, a gentle dame, whose time hied fast. So she said, be quiet, this is a hospital. Incidentally, could you just go to the hospital and drink beer? I suppose, if we wanted for this session here to move our meeting to the hospital and take some beer with it, they might not like it. Chances are they would say no, but it was obviously customary there, so you could do it. Sir Leopold heard on the up floor cry on high, and he wondered what cry that it was, whether of child or woman. And I marvel, said he, that it was not come or now. And here he speaks directly. He realized that in the chapter we have no unrecorded speech. It's almost indirect. But here, obviously, he's saying something, but not of course that. What cried I was with, little child, and I marvel, says he, that he be not come or now. So he is concerned about the woman. And he was well and saw a franklin that hight Lenehan. Now Lenehan we've met all along in the book, in the newspaper office, in Cyclops, in Ormond and things like that. And Lenehan keeps turning up all the time. I have no idea what Lenehan is doing in the hospital, except that he might know there's free beer. And that's the best thing you can that can happen to you, free beer. Had Lenehan on the side of the table that was older than any of the other. And for that, they both were knights virtuous. That again is a period expression. In the one emprise undertaking, and eke also by cause that she was elder, that he was elder, he spoke to him full gently. Lenehan and Bloom are older than the others who are students. So there will be rival Bloom, even as the only one is a father. But, said he, or it be long too, she will bring forth by God his bounty and have joy of her childing, for she hath waited marvelous long. And the franklin, they had drunken, said, expecting every moment to be her next. And here we have something more colloquial. And you may remember that in Cyclops, they talked about Jews, and Lenin made the joke, as he always does, expecting every moment to be her. And of course, you expect her last. But of course, every moment is the next thing like that. So that is a witticism that is taken over and that is probably spoken like that. Also, he took the cup that suited for him needed, never none asking nor desiring of him to drink. So Lenin is always there when there's something free. Now drink, said he, fully delectably, and he quaffed as far as he might to their both healths, for he was passing good man in his lustiness. And so Leopold, that was the goodlier guest that ever sat in a scholar's hall, and that was the meekest man and kindest that ever laid husbandly hand on the hen. That phrase also has been heard in Cyclops. And that was the very truest knight of the world, one that would did ever minion service to lady, gentle pledge him courtly in the cup. And then you go back to the Anglo-Saxon woman's woe with wonder pondering.
Now let us speak of that fellowship that was there to the intent to be drunken, and they might. There was a sort of scholars along either side the board, that is to wit, Dixon, Yclep Jr. of St. Mary Merciables, with other his fellows Lynch and Madden, scholars of medicine, and the franklin that hight Lenehan, and one from Alba Longa, one Crothers, and young Stephen, that had mean of a frere that was at head of the board, and Costello, that men Clapen punch Costello, all long of a mastery of him erewhile jested, and all of them reserved young Stephen, he was the most drunken, that demanded still of more mead, and beside the meek Sir Leopold. But on young Malachy they waited, for that he promised to have come, and such as intended to know goodness said how he had broke his avow. And Sir Leopold sat with them, for he bore fast friendship to Sir Simon, and to this his son, young Stephen. And for that his languor becalmed him there after longest wanderings, insomuch as they feasted him for that time in the honourablest manner. Ruth read him, love led on with will to wander, loath to leave.
And now all is moving forward in time, we get a list of who was there. Now, let us speak of that fellowship that was there to the intent to be drunken, and they might. And is the same word as if they might. There was a sort of scholars, of the group of scholars, along either side of the board, that is to wit, Dixon, yclept junior of St. Mary Merciables. So here's the doctor who joins. And here's of Mary Misericordia Hospital, where Bloom saw him first, with other his fellows, Lynch and Madden. And there are two more Ned, that we don't know, Lynch and Madden, based on medical students of the day, scholars of medicine, and the Franklin that hight Lenahan, and one from Alba Longa, that is Scotland, one Crothers, and young Stephen, that had mien of a friar. He looked like a priest because he dressed in black. That was ahead of the board, and Costello, there's a man named Costello, which, by the way, is an Irish name and not an Italian name, Costello. That man Clapen called Punch Costello, all long of the masters of an era ingested, and of all of them reserved young Stephen, except Stephen, he was the most drunken and demanded still of more meat. And beside him, the meek Sir Leopold. But on young Malachy, they waited, so Mulligan had promised to join them, for he had promised to have come. And such as intended, you know, goodness said, how he had broke his avow, his promise. And so Leopold sat with them, for he bore fast friendship to Sir Simon. Bloom knows Simon Dedalus, but it would be wrong to call it a friendship. He's not very close to him, but that's Bloom, Sir Simon, and to his son, young Stephen, for that his languor becalmed him. He's tired after longest wanderings, insomuch as they feasted him for that time in the honorablest manner. And then they go again back to Anglo-Saxon. Ruth read him. Ruth moved him. Love led him on, with will to wander, loath to leave. So, and now we come slowly to what I always think may be the most difficult part of the whole book. It's not only the strange language, but it's something where I always have to confess I don't quite see what Stephen Dedalus, he's in the foreground, what he's trying to say. So if you find this unsatisfactory, it's no wonder.
For they were right witty scholars, and he heard their arisons, each gain other, as touching birth and righteousness, young Madden maintaining that put such case, it were hard the wife to die. For so it had fallen out a matter of some year agone, with the woman of Ablana in Horn's house, that now was trespassed out of this world. And the self night next before her death, all leeches and apothecaries had taken counsel of her case. And they said farther she should live, because in the beginning they said the woman should bring forth in pain. And wherefore, they that were of this imagination affirmed how young Madden had said truth, for he had conscience to let her die. And not few, and of these was young Lynch, were in doubt that the world was now right evil governed, as it was never other, howbeit the mean people believed it otherwise, but the law nor his judges did provide no remedy. A redress God grant. This was scant said, but all cried with one acclaim, nay, by our virgin mother, the wife should live and the babe to die. In colour whereof they waxed hot upon that head, what with argument and what for their drinking. But the Franklin Lenehan was prompt each when to pour them ale, so that at the least way mirth might not lack. Then young Madden showed all the whole affair, and when he said how that she was dead, and how for holy religion's sake by rede of Palmer and Beadsman, and for a vow he had made to St. Ulton of Ardbracken, a goodman husband would not let her death, whereby they were all wondrous grieved. To whom young Stephen had these words following, murmur, sirs, is eke oft among lay folk. Both babe and parent now glorify their maker, the one in limbo gloom, the other in purge fire.
Okay. Stop here. For they were right witty scholars. Witty doesn't mean witty as we have now, but they knew a lot. And he heard their erzune reasons, each gain other, as touching birth and rightnessness. Young Madden maintaining that put such a case into her heart, the wife to die. So the question is, whether it is medical, if there's a child, a newborn child, and the mother, and only one can be saved, who should be saved? That's it. And of course, the church would opt for the child to be saved. And so they're discussing that almost natural. For so it had fallen out a matter of some year ago with a woman of Eblana, old word for Dublin, in Horne's house, that now was trespass out of this world, passed away. And the self knight next, before her death, all leeches, doctors, and apothecaries had taken counsel of her case. And they said, Father, she should live. Because in the beginning, they said the woman should bring forth in pain, and therefore they that were of this imagination affirmed how young Madden had said truth, for he had conscience to let her die. He does not want the mother to die. It seems to me the more reasonable thing, that the mother is still there. And not few, and of these was young Lynch, were in doubt that the world was now right evil governed, as it was never before, never other. Howbeit, the mean people believed it otherwise. But the law nor his judges did provide no remedy. A redress God grant. This was Grant said, but all cried with one acclaim, nay, by our virgin mother, the wife should live and the babe to die. So that's the majority opinion. In colour whereof they waxed hot, they grew inflamed hot upon that head, what with argument and what for their drinking. But the Franklin Lennon was prompt. Each went to pour them ale. So he's always filling the glasses, so that at the least way mirth might not lack. So he keeps the beer flowing. Then young Madden showed all the whole affair, and when he said how that she was dead, and how for holy religion's sake, by rede advice of Palmer, priest, and beadsmen, a monk calling the beads the rosary, for a vow he had made to Saint Ormond of Abercorn, that's a saint, her good man, husband, would not let her death. Here the word let is not in the sense that we have it. It means here hinder, to hinder death. The husband would not prevent her death as a good Catholic. So this is one word used in an older sense that in English has almost disappeared. But the phrase without let or hindrance is still used in English. So her death, whereby they were all wondrous grieved. To whom young Stephen had... Oh, here he stopped. No, a bit later. To whom young Stephen had these words following. No, I think that's why we were, huh?
Two lines
later. Sorry. Murmur, sirs, is eke oft among lay folk. Murmur is a... What is murmur? What is rumoured? What is said? Gossip. Both babe and parent now glorify their maker. The child and the parent now glorify their maker, which we should do. The one in limbo gloom, the other in purge fire. So Stephen here speaks like a priest. The child is now in limbo because limbo is a place that is not hell for children that are born and not baptized, for it's not their fault. So limbo is a kind of somewhat more agreeable place than hell, not quite so. And the other is in purgatory. So Stephen is really talking like a Catholic priest. And I do not know why he's doing that in this way, what he's trying to convey. You could say he's just drunk and in high spirits, but it doesn't quite satisfy me. So this is quite heavy going. Good, then we go on.
Gramercy. What of those God-possible souls that we nightly impossibilize, which is the sin against the Holy Ghost, very God, Lord and Giver of life? For, sirs, he said, our lust is brief. We are means to those small creatures within us, and nature has other ends than we. Then said Dixon Jr. to Punch Costello, wist he what ends? But he had overmuch drunken, and the best word he could have of him was that he would ever dishonest a woman, whoso she were, or wife, or maid, or leman, if it so fortuned him to be delivered of his spleen of lustihead. Whereat Crothers of Alba Longa sang young Malachy's praise of that beast the unicorn, how once in the millennium he cometh by his horn, the other all this while pricked forward with their jibes, wherewith they did malice him, witnessing all and several by St. Fountainus his engines, that he was able to do any manner of thing that lay in man to do. Thereat laughed they all jocundly, only young Stephen and Sir Leopold, which never durst laugh too open by reason of a strange humour, which he would not bewray, and also for that he rued for her that bare, whoso she might be, or wheresoever. Then spoke young Stephen, Orgulous, of Mother Church, that would cast him out of her bosom, of Law of Canons, of Lilith, patron of abortions, of bigness wrought by wind of seeds, of brightness, or by potency of vampires mouth to mouth, or, as Virgilius saith, by the influence of the occident, or by the reek of moonflower, or and she lie with a woman which a man has but lain with, effecto secuto, or peradventure in her bath, according to the opinions of Averroes and Moses Maimonides. He said also how at the end of the second month a human soul was infused, and how in all our Holy Mother foldeth ever souls for God's greater glory, whereas that earthly mother, which was but a dam to bring forth beastly, should die by canon, for so saith he that holdeth the fisherman's seal, even that blessed Peter, on which rock was Holy Church for all ages founded. All they bachelors then asked of Sir Leopold, would he in like case so jeopard her person as risk life to save life? A weariness of mind you would answer as fit at all. And laying hand to jaw, he said, dissembling, as his wont was, that as it was informed him, who had ever loved the art of physic, as might a layman, and agreeing also with this experience of so seldom seen an accident, it was good for that Mother Church be like at one blow at birth and death pence, and in such sort deliverly he scraped their questions. That is truth, Pardy, said Dixon, and, or I err, a pregnant word. Which hearing, young Stephen was a marvellous glad man, and he averred that he who stealeth from the poor lendeth to the Lord, for he was of a wild manner when he was drunken, and that he was now in that taking, it appeared, eftsoons.
Yeah. Good. First fire. But gramercy, mercy. What of those God-possible souls that be nightly impossibilized, which is a sin against the Holy Ghost? So he said that all the sperms that we nightly impossibilize, it's the warning against masturbation, a bloomhead, we all destroy souls that have been made possible by God. So that's the thing. Which is a sin against the Holy Ghost, which, as far as I know, and I know very little, is not a sin against the Holy Ghost. But he's obviously not to be taken literally. Very God, Lord and giver of life. For, sirs, he said, our lust is brief. That's a sermon. We are means of those small creatures within us, and nature has other ends than we. Then said Dixon Jr. to Ponce Costello, wished he what ends? Did he know what ends there are? But he had overmuch drunken, and the best word he could have of him was, so Costello is the worst of them all, that he would ever dishonest a woman, whoso she were, or wife, or maid, or leman, if it so fortuned him to deliver of his spleen. So he was getting rid of his sexual urge any time. So boasting that he would. So the young men are talking medical, religious matters, and of course talk about sexual adventures, which they may or may not have had. And, you know, it's only Bloom who is more reticent here. Well, at Crother of Alvaronga, the Scotsman, sang young Malachi's praise of the beast of a unicorn. There's a unicorn that comes once in a millennium, and unicorn is also a myth. It's, of course, also very phallic, as you can imagine. And Malachi must have done that. We can understand it. The millions, he cometh by his horn. Horn, of course, is always phallic. The other, all this wine, pricked forward with their jibes, their jokes, wherewith they all did malice him. Witnessing all and several by St. Futinus's engines. I don't quite know who Futinus is. This must be some French saint, and the name Futinus sounds a bit suspect in French. It reminds you of all kinds of words there. His engines, and that he was able to do any manner of thing that lay in man to do. That they laughed, and they all right jocundly, only young Stephen and Sir Leopold, which never does laugh too open, and you realize that Bloom hardly ever laughs or smiles, by reason of a strange humor, which he would not bewray, and also for that he rued for her, he had pity for her, that bear that was about to bear children, whoso she might be or wheresoever. So the author engages in jokes and boasts, and Bloom does not. Then spoke young Stephen Orgillus, proud of Mother Church, that would cast him out of her bosom. Now, of course, he has left the religion, and he thinks the church cast him out. Of law of canons, and you know the canonical law, or canonic age, that the canon is the prescription, the rules of the church. Of Lilith, patron saint of abortion. I don't know if you know Lilith. She's a mysterious, dangerous figure in Jewish mythology. She was said to be the first wife of Adam and has all kinds of bad things. So she's a femme fatale, patron of abortions, of bigness wrought by wind, the seeds of brightness. And then there were all kinds of opinions around by medical people, how you can be impregnated, not through sexual congress. For example, that wind or seeds of brightness, that the wind can transmit semen, or by potency of vampires, mouth to mouth, that would be a way. Or, as Virgilius said, by the imprint of the occident, or by the reek of moonflower. So these were all views that had been circulated. Or, and if she lie with a woman with her man had but lain with, if a woman sleeps alongside next to another woman who has had intercourse, she might get it. Effectus secuta in Latin, or peradventure in her bath, according to the opinions of Averroes and Moses Maimonides. These were Jewish and Arab philosophers. So you see he's spouting a religion here. We know it occupies him all the time. But my point has always been, what is he trying to do? Is he trying to be funny? Is he entertaining them? Does he masquerade? Is it something compulsive? He said also how at the end of the second month, that is now the period of birth, and Joyce studied the development of the fetus in medical books, the second month, a human soul was infused. And having all our Holy Mother foldeth ever souls for God's greater glory, for the greater glory of God is the motto of the Jesuits. Whatever you do in a Jesuit school, it's always for the greater glory of God. Whereas that earthly mother, and now he's spouting theology, the earthly mother, that is obviously Eve, she's the earthly mother, which was but a dam to bring forth. A dam is a female animal, dam, that is only there for, you know, for offspring. You may notice that Stephen, all along, there's something against women. He doesn't seem to like them. He reduced Helen to something like that. A dam, she's just something to bring forward. Beastly, remember? Mark Mulligan said that the mother died beastly, and so he'd bring forth beastly like animals, should die by cannon. For so says he that holdeth the fisherman's seal. Who is the one who holds the fisherman's seal? See, these are all things that Joyce's generation would be known and familiar by all Christians. The Pope, Peter, was a fisherman. And when you become Pope, which is unlikely that it happens to us, you will get the fisherman's ring. Even that blessed Peter was made Pope, on which rock was Holy Church for all ages founded. And that refers to something that occurs very often. The Jesus chose Peter to be his follower. And the reason is because in Latin, Petra is rock. And that you are the rock on which I build my church. And you can see this in St. Peter's in Rome. Tu es Petrus et super hanc Petrum. It's that choice called was based on a pun. Holy Church for All Ages founded. And of course, Rock for All Ages, there's also a song, Rock of Ages. All the bachelors then asked of Sir Leopold, would he, in like case, so jeopard her person as risk life to save life? So they obviously make fun of Bloom asking a question. A wariness of mind, he would answer as fit at all, and laying hand to jaw, he said, dissembling, as his wont was, that, as it was informed him, who had ever loved the art of physic, as might a layman, and agreeing also with his experiences of so seldom seen an accident, it was good for that Mother Church to be like, at one blow, had birth and death pence. So Bloom, don't quite know where true to nature, evade the question as Mother Church asks death pence and birth pence, money, when you have birth and die. So it's a kind of an economic way out of it. That is truth, Pardy, said Dixon. On IR, a pregnant word. Pregnant word fits the chapter, of course. Which hearing, young Stephen was marvellous glad man, and he averred that he who stealeth from the poor lendeth to the Lord. This is what Buck Mulligan has said at the end of the first chapter. It's, of course, a twisting of the Bible. So, For he was a wise manner when he was drunken, and that he was now in that taking, it appeared eftsoons. So Stephen delivers himself of a kind of drunken ramble full of theological points and all of that.
But Sir Leopold was passing brave maugre his word, by cause he still had pity of the terror-causing shrieking of shrill women in their labour. And as he was minded of his good lady Marian, that had borne him an only man-child, which on his 11th day on life had died, and no man of art could save, so dark his destiny. And she was wondrous stricken of heart for that evil hap. And for his burial did him on a fair corslet of lamb's wool, the flower of the flock, lest he might perish utterly and lie a coward, for it was then about the midst of the winter. And now Sir Leopold, that had of his body no man-child for an heir, looked upon him his friend's son, and was shut up in sorrow for his forepast happiness. And as sad as he was that him failed the son of such gentle courage, for all accounted him of real parts, so grieved he also in no less measure for young Stephen, for that he lived riotously with those wastrels and murdered his goods with whores.
But Sir Leopold was passing grave, serious. Maugre, that is French, malgré, though, even though, his word, by cause, he still had pity of the terror-causing shrieking of shrill women in their labor. and as it was minded of his good lady Marian, that had borne him an only man child, which know that, we know that, an only man child, which on his 11th day on life had died, and no man of art could save. So dark is destiny. And then she was wondrous stricken of heart, sad, for that evil hap, and for his burial did him on a fair corslet of lamb's wool. So she knitted for him a kind of woolen dress, something like that, a corslet. Yeah. She dressed the dead body of lamb's wool, the flower of the flock, lest he might perish utterly, the son, and lie a kelet. That's an old word. It contained cold, cool. For it was then about the mid of the winter. And now Sir Leopold, that had of his body no man child for an heir, looked upon his friend's son and was shut up in sorrow for his four past happiness, and as sad as he was that him failed a son of such gentle courage. For all accounted him of real parts, so grieved he also in no less measure for young Stephen, for that he lived riotously with those wastrels and murdered his goods with whores. That is from the Bible, and that has to do with the prodigal son, der verlorene Sohn. Remember, there was one who was abroad and wasted money, that is the word, the Bible, murdered his goods with whores, wasted, and he came back and was received well from him, by his father. So there's a lot here of, say, biblical knowledge. Now, I think we go into it and then stop at a certain time. Yeah. So I tell her to stop then, huh? But we do a bit.
About that present time, young Stephen filled all cups that stood empty. So as there remained but little mo, if the Redentor had not shadowed their approach from him, that still plied it very busily, who, praying for the intentions of the sovereign pontiff, he gave them for a pledge the vicar of Christ, which also, as he said, is vicar of Bray. Now drink we, quoth he, of this mazer, and quaff ye this mead, which is not indeed parcel of my body, but my soul's bodiment. Leave ye fraction of bread to them that live by bread alone. Be not afeard neither, for any want for this will comfort more than the other will dismay. See ye here. And he showed them glistering coins of the tribute and goldsmith's notes, the worth of £2.19 that he had, he said, for a song which he writ. They all admire to see the foresaid riches in such dearth of money as was here before. His words were then these as followeth. Know all men, he said, time's ruins build eternity's mansions. What means this? Desire's wind blasts the thorn tree, but after it becomes from a bramble bush to be a rose upon the rood of time. Mark me now, in woman's womb word is made flesh, but in the spirit of the maker all flesh that passes becomes the word that shall not pass away. This is the post-creation. Omnis caro ad te veniat. No question but her name is puissant, who even tried the dear course of our Agenbuyer.
No, I think we stop here then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and this is the really difficult part, full of religious echoes. And at present time, young Stephen filled all cups that stood empty. So, as I remind, little more, if the prudentor, that's where we bloom, had not shadowed their approach for him that still plied it very busily, who, praying for the intention of the sovereign pontiff, that is the Pope, He gave them for a pledge the Vicar of Christ, which also, as he said, is Vicar of Bray. Now, again, it has to do with the Pope, the Pontifex Maximus, bridge builder, a Roman priest. The Pope is the Vicar of Christ in the church. And then he says, also the Vicar of Bray. Now, we already heard of Bray, there's a Bray in Ireland, but that's another vicar. It is from a poem long ago of a vicar of Bray who, in all the changes of religion that were, he always stayed on top and just changed along with a kind of opportunist, the Vicar of Bray. He was always in tune with a going fashion. Now drink we, quoth he, this manner and craft, or this meat, drink and eat, which is not indeed parcel of my body. The meat, the bread is my body. This is my body. But my soul's bodiment. Don't ask me what my soul's bodiment is. Leave ye fraction of bread, leave a fraction of bread to them by live by bread alone. You know, Christ said, you don't live by bread alone. And the fraction of bread is, of course, the fact that bread was always broken and never cut as the body of Christ. Be not afeard, neither for any want. For this will comfort more than other will dismay. See here. And he showed them the glittering coins of the tribute. The coins of the tribute in the New Testament is where somebody asked one of the tribute the money, and Jesus said, to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the money, it's one of these sayings. And Goldsmith's notes, he had banknotes, and banknotes were originally Goldsmith's notes. They didn't sell coins of gold, but they had paper money. That's another invention. Well worth of £2.19 he had. So he got his salary, as I remember in the second chapter. He said, for a song which he writ. He doesn't say it's his salary as a teacher. He says, I've written a song and got more than £2 for it, which isn't true. So he's showing off. Lying. They all admired to see the foresaid riches in such dearth of money that was here before. Funny that Stephen shows everyone the money he has when nobody has anything, which doesn't seem to be a good tactic. His words were then as follows. Know all men, he said, time's ruins build eternity's mansions. That is something, and we know it from the second chapter, that William Blake has said. What means this? Like a sermon. Desires wind blast the thorn tree, but oft it becomes from a bramble bush to be a rose upon the root of time. These are all the biblical echoes, desire wind and quotations, thorn tree. A bramble bush, I think it's also in the Bible, and the rose upon the root of time is a poem by Yeats that was current. Root, to repeat it, is a cross. This isn't all very convincing, and I admit that I don't quite know what to do, but you see, he's just presenting a lot of things without, as I can see, much coherence. Mark me now, in woman's womb, word is made flesh. That's the gospel. But in the spirit of the maker, All flesh that passes becomes the word that shall not pass away. Very biblical language. This is the post-creation. So it's very theological, and a lot has been said, but I must say, I can't, even after a long life, I still can't make them. I remember quite well, there was a woman from, I think, Bulgaria, who did a lot of interpretation. And then she said, that's the post-creation. And I went there and said, what is the post-creation? But she didn't tell me, so I still don't quite know what it is. So this merely by way of excuse. And if you feel lost, I think you're in a fairly good company. Here is just an announcement, and it still needs to. So we put post-creation is a good place to stop. So it will get more complicated. The language will become more familiar and all of it. And so it's something, a walk through the development of the English language, which Joyce obviously liked. You can feel that, whether we like it. But on the whole, it has been said, I feel it now, I've read it several times. Often it really, in spite of its strange language, it feels like a story that can be told. This would also happen to you if you go on reading it a lot of time, assuming somebody has the time. Good. Okay, next time then we go on in the hospital.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.